Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In this fourth talk, meanings of our holy dua, we are going to look at the first part of the dua, which begins with the complete Suratul Fatiha. Suratul Fatiha is considered to be the most important surah of the Holy Quran. It consists of 7 verses, as we have already heard. It has many, many names, but for instance, Suratul Fatiha means the opening chapter. The Quran begins with the Suratul Fatiha, and our holy dua begins with the Suratul Fatiha. It has the name Suratul Shifa, means it is the chapter of healing. There is spiritual and intellectual healing in its meanings. It is also known as Surah Al-Hamd because it starts with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And another very important name of it is Ummul Kitab, or the mother of the book. The reason why Suratul Fatiha is considered the most important chapter of the Holy Quran is that it contains the essence of the whole of the Quran. Although it is only 7 ayats long, but it is in its meanings, it is extremely comprehensive. In other words, whatever is mentioned in the Suratul Fatiha in a very concise form is then described in greater detail in the rest of the Quran. So the rest of the Quran is extended and the Suratul Fatiha is condensed. And a good example, perhaps from nature, is that of the seed, which is the condensed form of the tree. And the tree, when it is fully grown, is the extended form of the seed. So in this sense, the Quran is contained in the Suratul Fatiha, as we have already seen in the previous talk, that the whole of the Quran is contained in the Suratul Fatiha, and the whole of the Suratul Fatiha is condensed in Basmallah, or the Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, and the whole of the Bismillahirrahmanirrahim is in the first letter Ba and the dot which is underneath the letter Ba. Suratul Fatiha is so important that no formal prayer in Islam is acceptable without reciting it. And in the Ismaili Tariqa of Islam, we recite it in our dua 3 times a day at least. We also recite it on many other occasions, such as our funerals, during the ziyarat. And it is a surah because it contains the essence of the Quran. It is popularly said, that if you recite the Suratul Fatiha with its meanings, you have read or recited the whole of the Holy Quran. We will first just recite it in Arabic and then take each phrase and try to understand. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Ar-Rahmanir Maliki Yawm Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in Ihdinas Siratal An'amta Alayhim Ghayril Maghdub Waladh. We take the very first word, Alhamd. Alhamd in Arabic, the letter A-L, Al, it is very important to pronounce it properly because there are other words in Arabic which have a slightly different sound, but then the meaning changes totally. Therefore, it is very important to pronounce Al, A-L, Al. The 2 letters A-L, they are called the definite article language. Therefore, this would be translated as the, and hamd means praise, the praise. Now, why is it the praise. In our later editions of our dua, the translation has actually corrected, because in the past we had all praise. The praise is important because praise can be ordinary praise or it can be special praise. We Muslims praise God specifically through the teachings of our Prophet Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and through the ta'aleem, the teachings, the guidance of our... So we praise God in the light of the teachings of the Prophet. And this is why it is specifically the praise. And since it is God's will that there should always be either a prophet in his time or the imam in every time to teach people about the recognition of God, then this sort of praise is more acceptable to God because this is the praise taught by them. Next phrase is Rabbil Alameen, which is translated as sustainer or nourisher of the world. When we think about the meaning of the sustainer of the worlds, Alameen is a word which is mentioned 73 times in the... What are these worlds? Are these worlds simply the worlds of the galaxies and the universes and the planets and the stars? These are physical worlds. Or can this have a deeper meaning? In our esoteric tariqa, we have been taught that these worlds are actually personal worlds. Or the words of Maulana Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam, he said, by Alameen is meant people, and each one of them is a world. The world is of two kinds, the macrocosm, which is the universe and what it contains, and the microcosm, which is the human being, because he or she is created on the pattern of the macrocosm, and God has created in him or her what exists in it. So by this saying of Maulana Jafar Sadiq, which I have quoted from a book called Mufradat al-Quran by Raghib Isfani, and this particular quotation is to be found on page 357. From this we understand the human being is the cream of creation, because he or she is a macrocosm in which is enfolded everything which in the macrocosm, the universe. And therefore, this shows that the human being has tremendous, huge potential. And the human being, therefore, is considered the highest of God's creation. Technical term is Ashraful Makhlukat. And the reason why he is the Ashraful Makhlukat is that he or she contains everything of the macrocosm. And God has bestowed on the human being the gift of the innate or partial. Pir Nasir Khisrau, in his outstanding book called Wajh, which inshallah will be published, highly studies in its English translation and in a re-edition of the Persian original text. In the very beginning of Wajhuddin, Pir Nasir says that since God has created the partial intellect, then God, he is the Rabb, the sustainer, the nourisher, the provider. Therefore, he has to provide for this partial. He has provided for the body, giving us all these plants and animals which nourish our body. For our intellect, God has given us the mazhar of the universal perfect intellect, who is the of the time. And therefore, as long as there are human beings on the earth, and human beings have this intellect, there must be either the prophet or the imam to nourish these intellects. Maulana Sultan Muhammad Shah Alayhi Salam, in chapter 8 of his memoirs, on page 174, puts it like this. He says, "Thus man's soul has never been left without a specially inspired messenger from the soul that sustains, embraces, and is the universe." So for us, this phrase, Rabbil Alameen, this phrase in our dua, in its different grammatical constructions, comes three times. This phrase, Rabbil Alameen, is an extremely significant phrase. It is one which each one of us, when we recite our dua, should understand properly, because in that way we will understand immense potential that God has given us. And not only has He given us immense potential, He has bestowed on us the rational soul or the partial intellect. And not only that, He has also given us the universal intellect, universal soul, which nourishes us, sustains us, which helps us to progress our partial intellect to become the perfect intellect. Or this guidance helps us to develop our microcosm that we can unfold, actualize the macrocosm which is enfolded ourselves. Having explained Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alam, we go on to Ar-Rahman. And here we have two attributes, two descriptions, God, Rahman, and both of them have the same root, as we can see even from the English translation, that the common letters are R, H, and M. Rahman and Rahim. Rahman is a very special name of God. Therefore, when Muslims want to give this name to their children, to their boys specifically, usually call them Abdurrahman. Whereas Rahim is a common name of God, and we can call our male children Rahim without prefixing it with Abd. Abdurrahman, servant of the compassionate. So Rahman and Rahim both mean mercy or compassion. But why are these two names? The name Rahman is special, but its meaning is very general. It means that the mercy of God reaches everything in everything, from mineral soul to vegetative soul to animal soul to the rational soul. Angels and everything in God's creation receives the mercy of God. But the name Rahim, although the name itself is used generally, but its meaning is very special. The mercy which is contained in the name Rahim is special mercy. And this special mercy is linked to the sustenance or to the nourishment of the intellect which is in the human beings. That mercy manifests in the form of divine guidance, which has always continued in the world, because there have been human beings in the world who need to have divine guidance in order to develop and to progress their partial intellect. The phrase after that is Maliki Yawmiddin, which translates as the king. Malik is king of the day of religion. The word Malik, if we can find in the Holy Quran, in many, it is says Mulk, which means kingdom of Malik, which is king and refers to Allah. Malikul Mulk, which sort of kingdom, which is king. Ma Mulk, as the great kingdom. Al Muluk, kings, is also in the words malak, angel, or its plural malaika, and in malakut, the world of souls and angels. So the word malik has many different forms Yom Middin, translated as the day of judgment or the day of resurrection. Interesting to note that here, God's being king or lord is connected with the day of judgment. And there's a very important message in this world, people are given free choice because we have free will. But on the day of resurrection, nobody will have any power and authority, will be in the Lord of the day. This is the Elikiyomi. The next phrase after that is Iyakana. Thee or you alone we worship, you alone seek help from. The word budu is related to ibadat or abd, worship. That human beings are the servants of God, they worship God. But this worship should be very pure worship. It should be full of sincerity and purity. In other words, worship God, we should worship God with understanding, hakikati understanding, esoteric understanding, and we should not be worshiping God with wrong information or wrong notions. And the interesting thing here is that what is the means through which we can have love for God, pure love for God? And the answer to this is in the Quran itself, where God says in Surah 3, Ayah 31, say, O Muhammad, to human, if you love Allah, follow me. Allah will love you, is forgiving, merciful. This shows that God does not love those who are trying to love God on their own without following and loving. So it's important to realize here that not worship God directly. We worship God through his vicegerent, through his mazhar, the prophet and the progeny of the prophet. Now, following in from there, there could be the question that what is the means of truly following the Holy Prophet is no longer present physically in the world. So the answer to that is that the only means of following the Prophet is love and friendship of his relatives. The Quran in chapter 42, ayah 23 says, say, O Muhammad, unto humankind, I ask of you no reward for conveying the message of God, except friendship for relative. And here, the relatives is not the extended family, but the direct descendants of the Holy Prophet, who are the Imam. So, the worship of God is done in the light of love and friendship for the Prophet, and that love and friendship for the Prophet is today directed towards his direct descendants, who are the Imam. And once we have worshipped God in this sincere, in this pure way, with love and friendship, then we ask for Iyyaka Nasta'in. We ask for help. We are seeking help in this particular prayer. We are saying, and from you alone, after this we go on a very important, up to Iyyaka Nasta'in, we have praised God, Alhamdulillah, because he is the sustainer of the personal worlds, who are human beings, and he has a general mercy, which is for the whole of creation, and a special mercy, which is for the partial intellects, which are the human beings. And we have reminded ourselves, in his mercy, God has given us free will up to the day of judgment or the day of resurrection, of which he is the, and we have said we worship God alone through the messengership of the Prophet and the imamat of the imams. And we have said that having worshipped God truly through the Prophet and the imams, we seek his help. But now the next remaining part of the Suratul Fatiha is a prayer. We are asking for something. We are asking for guidance on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Ihdinas Sirat al-Mustaqim. Guide us on the straight. So here, Ihdinas. The word Ihdi is related to the word hidayat, and the one who gives hidayat is called the Hadi. So guide us on the straight path. Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path or the right path. The beauty of Sirat al-Mustaqim is that it is the shortest path. A soul which is here in our body on planet Earth, to our ultimate destination, to merge in the soul of God. So the Sirat al-Mustaqim is the right and the shortest path, and the straight path, because that's the beauty of a straight path, the shortest distance between the beginning and the end of the journey. Any other path which is not straight would take longer. So we are asking here for guidance on this straight path, which is the shortest distance between ourselves. And we are then going on to say, Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhi. So we are asking to be on the path of those upon whom God has sent His ni'mat, His favors. An'amta. An'amta comes from ni'mat, favors or blessings. So who are these? In order to know who these are, we have to look at the Quran in Surah 4, Ayat 69, where we find that this group whom God has favored are the prophets, the truthful ones, which is the technical name, Siddiqeen, which is the name of the Wali of the Prophet, or the Asas of the Prophet, who is the first Imam of this Prophet cycle. In our case, Nabi Muhammad was the Prophet, and Hazrat Ali was the Asas or Wali. And then witnesses, the Imams are the witness, because the Imams are from the progeny of the Holy Prophet and the Asas. They are witnesses in the sense that on the day of judgment, they will witness everything that we have done here, we have followed their guidance or not. And then there are the righteous ones and the followers. So the path of those who are favored are the prophets, the asases, and the hujjats or peers. So what we are actually saying is, we are praying that God should keep us on this straight path, because this is the path of the favored ones, the blessed ones, and by walking in the footsteps of the prophets and the asases and the imams and the hujjats and peers, we can reach the destination safely, securely, and in the shortest time. Our prayer is that we should follow in their footsteps. And then comes the phrase, Gairil mag alayhim, gairil mag alayhim. This phrase, gairil mubi alayhim, contains the word gazab. Magdubi comes from gazab, which means anger. And the question which we ask here is God really a God of wrath or anger? Surely anger and wrath are the characteristics of human beings, because human beings are weak, they have control over everything, they are often frustrated, and therefore they lose control and become angry. But surely God, with all His perfect attributes, cannot. And this is why in Islam particularly, we constantly say Bismillahir Rahman, through the name of Allah, the most merciful, most compassionate. So how do we understand not the path of those who have earned God's anger? Here we have to look at our own free will, and the fact that God has also given us the partial intellect or the rational soul. Our rational soul or intellect is able to discern between good and bad, between the truth and the false. And if we do not make the right choices, then automatically there is a law of God. If we do not follow His guidance, if we do not obey His prophet and imams, then automatically the law works against us. We receive punishment. Somebody may ask, well, what type of punishment would this be? And we have seen throughout history, when people have not followed the prophets and the imams, then gradually any pleasure in their prayers, in their practices of their religion, and they have then deviated completely. This is the biggest punishment that there is for a human being who does not follow the Sirat al-Mustaqim, the guidance of the prophets. And the final phrase is waladhalin, not the path of those who have gone astray. This is the path of deviation. So the Holy Quran is telling us that there are many paths in the world. One of them is Sirat al-Mustaqim, but then there are others which are crooked, with long time, which do not have the guidance of God present on them. Therefore, these are the paths of deviation, lead people astray. And so this particular prayer, which all Muslims, because they recite Surah Al-Fatiha every day of their life, we are all praying to remain on the straight and the short path, the path of the prophets, the imams and the peers. We do not wish to be on the path by our own disobedience or negligence or lack of knowledge. We bring on the anger of God, which is an automatic reaction to whatever actions we do. And neither do we want to be on the path of those who have gone away from the short and the straight path. And this prayer is very, very important, and we should say it with total understanding. The greatest thing, greatest gift of God is that He has provided for guidance. Ya Ali. Fifth talk, we will look at the second, the Suratul Fatiha. And this goes, Sajda wajhi ilayka wa tawakkaltu alayka minka quwwati ismati ya rabbal alamin. The very first word, sajda, to prostrate. And to prostrate what? Waj. Waj means face. To prostrate our face to God. The meaning of this is that in our face, mind, our brain, our intention, our attention through our mind or our brain. So when we say sajda wajhi ilayka, we are saying we are turning our face, our attention and our towards God with submission. This word sajda, which also comes at every part of the dua when we say sujoodi wa ta'ati, should be understood very clearly that here expected to be submissive in the sense that we obey the prophet and the imam of the time, because ours is a partial, imperfect intellect and theirs is the perfect divine intellect. And so our submission help us to perfect. It's nothing debasing or humiliating about submission. It is because of this that the Holy Quran in Surah the Clot or Al-Alaq says in the last verse, which is 19, Wasjud waqtar, prostrate yourself and come closer. So through this prostration of submission, obedience with humility, we come closer to the light of God. And even the actual action where we bend our heads, right down to the floor and touch the floor with our foreheads, this is a symbol of obedience to the light of God, representing who is the mazhar of the nur of God. The next phrase, wa tawakkaltu alayka. Tawakkaltu, I trust, and I trust it. The word tawakkaltu comes from the word wakil in Arabic, and wakil is advocate. That we entrust all our matters to God because He, the all-powerful, our best advocate. He will do for us that which is best for us, which are beyond our powers. So ultimately, to leave it to God's power and entrust all such matters. Min kakuwati, from you is my strength. This shows that everything we do physically or spiritually is through all the blessings that God has granted. And wa anta ismat, you are my protection, my refuge. Allah is our protection, in whom we refuge or security. And the final phrase is ya rabbal alamin, which the meaning of which we have discussed in very great detail already. But here it is important to point out that the grammatical construction has changed. We are invoking, we are calling on ya, or the Lord of the worlds, the personal world. So when we put ya in front of rabb, it changes ethical structure, and not rabbil here as it is Suratul Fatiha, but it is ya rabbal. It is also important to point out here that in the Arabic language there are many double consonants. There is here rabbal, and then the final paragraph of our dua, which is also supplicatory, a prayer, not a Quranic, is Allahumma salli Muhammad Mustafa wa ala ayyinil murtaz wa alal a'immatil hujjatil amri swahibiz imamil hadiril maulana shah karimil Hussein Allahumma laka wa ta'as. Paragraph is actually our salawat, a longer version. And for this, I want to read out an article which I a long time ago for the Tariqa Board of United Kingdom out during a Jamaati Satara. But before I come to that, I want to just pick up the names of our Prophet Ana Ali. O Allah, Allahumma, O Allah, send blessings through Muhammad the Chosen. In its exoteric form, people think that we are asking God to send blessings on Prophet Muhammad and on Hazrat and on the Imam. But this is the exoteric. It is not the batini or the esoteric thinking. And perhaps when I read the article and record it, you will realize why we are saying that. But another reason for that is the Prophet himself in Surah 21, Ayat 107, is called Rahmatal Lil Alameen. The ayat which I was looking for in Surah 21:107 reads, Wama arsalnaka illa rahmatal lil alameen. We sent you, Muhammad, not save as a mercy for the peoples, for the worlds. So here we have the same argument that the Prophet had come for the human worlds, the human beings. He had come to guide them. And not only did he guide them, but he left a source of guidance through his progeny for the world to come, for the human beings to come. And so if the Prophet himself is the mercy for all peoples, then surely he doesn't need the blessings of his followers. So it's important to keep the esoteric meaning of the salawat in mind. But before I come to that article, I want to mention the name and the title of the Holy Prophet, Muhammadin al-Mustafa, Muhammad the Chosen. What is this related to? This is related to Surah 3, Ayah 33 and 34, which goes, Inna Allah hastafa, this word, hastafa, indeed God chose. The rest of the ayat goes on that God chose Adam and Noah and the family of Abraham and the family of Imran above all beings. Again, there is the word alal alameen, which means that God had chosen, selected all these prophets and their progeny from amongst the human beings. And then the final verse of this Surah 3, Ayat 33-34, is they are descendants one from the other, and Allah is all-hearing, all-knowing. So Prophet Muhammad's title, Mustafa, is related to this word, Hastafa, in this ayat, and it shows that the Prophet was chosen by God to be the guide in his time. So now we go on to the next name, which is the name of Mawla Ali. And Mawla Ali is Murtaza, which is Ali the favorite. And the imams are Atahar, meaning they are pure. The imams are pure. And then upon the proof of Amr, of command, who is the Sahib of the Zaman, who is the master of the time, and Asr. Here we have two things, that the Imam of the time is not only the master, the lord of the physical time, but he is also the lord of the spiritual time. And he is the Imam who is present, Hazir, and Mawjood, and living. And he is Mawla Shah Kareem al-Husayni, Shah Kareem Mil Husayni. Prostrate, we prostrate meaning we obey the Imam, because by obeying the Imam we obey Hazrat Ali, by Hazrat Ali we obey the Prophet, and by obeying all of them we obey Allah. And prostration, obedience is that which brings us closer to the light of God. I am now going to just read out this article which I mentioned earlier. I had given it the title at that time, Salawat represents the eternal circle of blessings. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. That is, O Allah, send blessings upon Muhammad and the progeny of Muhammad, is not only of necessity a repeated prayer in our Jamaat, but it is also a much favored tasbih recited by Ismailis everywhere. What is the Quranic basis for the salawat? In Surah 33 of the Holy Quran, there are two separate ayat which particularly deserve to be studied carefully. Ayat 43 says, He, Allah, it is who blesses you, and His angels bless you, so that He may bring you out of darkness into the light. And Allah is merciful to the believers. In other words, Allah sends salawat or blessings on the believers, and so also His angels, so that the darkness of evil, ignorance, disbelief, etc. can be taken, removed from us, and to bring us to the light of guidance, belief, and good. Later on in Ayah 56 of the same chapter, chapter 33, it is stated, Indeed, Allah and His angels bless the Prophet. O you who believe, ask blessings on him and submit to him as ought to be submitted. These two ayats show that Allah and His angels send blessings on the Prophet and the believers. And the believers in turn are asked to send blessings on the Holy Prophet. The intellectual challenge posed by these ayats is to reflect on the rank, on the degree of the blessings sent by Allah and His angels and those sent by the believers or more. It is obvious that the salawat sent by Allah and His angels on the Prophet is in the form of the exalted mission of the Holy Prophet to lead people out of the darkness of disbelief, ignorance, and evil to the light of guidance. And on the other hand, when believers are asked to send salawat on the Prophet, it is in the form of accepting and submitting to the light of guidance and showing gratitude. Thus, the recitation of salawat becomes an eternal circle of blessings for mu'mins, in that they are sure that Allah always answers their prayer for light and guidance in the presence of the progeny of the Holy Prophet. Perhaps if I add one or more sentences here, it is that the blessing sent by God and His angels on the Prophet is in the form of giving the Prophet that light with which to guide us human beings. And when we human beings are being asked to send salawat or blessings on the Prophet, it is not that we sending blessings on the Prophet, but we are actually praying the Prophet should take us out of ignorance and negligence and disbelief and give us the light which Allah has given him, so that we are guided on the right path. Salawat is such an important prayer for us that it is recited every time we say the holy names of the Prophet. So whenever the name of the Imam or the Prophet is Salawat, and it is a prayer, and this prayer is that, O God, send blessings on us. Send on us the blessing of guidance. Send us the blessing of hidayat, of nur, of direction, so that we can follow the guidance of the Prophet and the Imam. We recite salawat at the beginning and end of the recitation talikas. Salawat is recited during the Chandrat Majlis every month. Our 48th Imam, Maulana Sultan Muhammad Shah Salawatullahi Alayhi, recommended the Jamaat to come together to pray on the night of Chandrat and to do special recitation of Salawat. That is to recite more and more Salawat. We recite many Salawat Tasbis during our funeral ceremonies. Every day, three times a day, in the last paragraph of the first part of our Dua, we recite the Salawat in all its detail by saying, O Allah, send blessings through Muhammad the Chosen, through Ali the Favorite, through the Imams the Pure, and through the proof of your command, the Lord of the time and age, the present Imam, Karim al-Husayni. We say this with the understanding that we are beseeching Allah to help us to remain the obedient followers of the Prophet and his descendants, the Imams, and to never deviate from the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Ya Ali Madhu. Start on part 3 of Bismillahir Rahman. Ya Mir Rabbika. Wallah from Surah 5, Ma'idah, and it all must convey that Allah has something missing. Although it says convey that which from your Lord, it doesn't tell you what was to be conveyed. Ayat, the final pilgrimage prophet, he had performed the final Hajj. On the revelation, the emphatic way. If people say the Prophet was Anzil, the Quran, 22 years already. And this was just 3 months physically. So what is this ayah? The answer to this is to be found the book of Sunni commentator. The name of the book is Sir Ad-Durri Man. It is by this commentator. This has been published in Egypt, and in volume 3 on page 398, it is said, Ibn Mardaway has narrated from Ibn Mas'ud that this verse used to be recited during the lifetime of the Prophet as follows. Ya ayyuhar rasulu ballig manzila ilayka mir rabbika anna aliyan mawlal mu'minina wa illam taf'al fama ballagta risalatahu wallahu ya's. So according to Sunni writer, it seems that a whole sentence missing from this. And when this ayat is read in its complete form, then it makes more meaning. It means, O Messenger, convey the command has been revealed to about Ali, that he is the master, the Mawla of the Mumineen. If you did not do so, then you did not convey his message, and Allah will promote humankind. According to the Shia interpretation, Ghadir-e Khum is a key event in our history. It's at Ghadir-e Khum that the Prophet had, after receiving this ayat 567, stopped the whole caravan, waited for people still behind, and had called back the people who had gone, and to thousands of them, heat of the desert, he had announced, he whose master I am, Ali, is, and this he was doing because he was following the command of God that he should do so. Because at Ghadir-e Khum, the Prophet also made the statement that he was leaving two heavy, that is, significant things behind him. That is the book of God, the Holy Quran, and his progeny, because his progeny, they would give the inner meaning of the Quran, who would give the ta'wil of the tanzil of the, and in that way keep Islam a dynamic faith which would be practiced according to the time. From here, we go on to the next section. It's four statements. La ilahul hayyul qayyum. No God except Allah, who is ever living and everlasting by himself. In this statement, the supreme Al-Hayyul Qayyum. Al-Hayyul is also to be the famous Ayatul Kursi. And all Muslims believe the Ayatul Kursi is greatest of all the Ayatul Kursi's. First statement is La ilahul Hayyul Qayyum. Al-Hayyul are therefore the name of God, is ever living and everlasting. We all also link here with the fact many of our rites and ceremonies, we use Hayyu and Qayyum quite a lot. For instance, we say Hayyu Zinda. And those who are already in the Jamaat, Qayyum Pa. We also use Hayyu Zinda when we give Juro, Ya Hayyu Majlises. Therefore, this supreme name. The sentence after that, Allahul Malikul Haqqul Mubin. Except Allah, who is the King, the Truth. La ilaha illahul malikul yaqin. There is no God except Allah, who is the King, the Truth, the Certain. La ilaha illahul malikul yawmi. There is no God except Allah, who is the Master of the Day. In this last sentence, it is La ilaha illahul malikul yawmi. Not like in the Suratul Fatiha, where because the grammatical construction is different, it is Maliki. In the third part, it is Maliku. Then comes La Fata Iyun La Saifa Illa Zulfaqar. There is no ideal man and there is no ideal sword except Zulfaqar. The third part of our dua, two references to our history. Beginning ayat is a reference to Ghadir-e Khum, and this particular statement, which is actually a Hadith-e Qudsi. A Hadith-e Qudsi is a divine tradition which was relayed to the Holy Prophet at a certain point in history. It is believed that this was revealed to the Holy Prophet at the time of the Battle of Uhud, which was the second great battle in the history of. It is said that the Muslim army, a certain section of the Muslim army, the archers, were placed by the Holy Prophet strategically on a hilltop, commanded not to leave their position unless the Holy Prophet himself. During the battle, the Muslims winning were fleeing, and when the people, the archers on the hilltop, saw that the enemy was in flight, decided not to wait for the Prophet's command. They decided to come down so that they could hold all the booty of the war. This was their disobedience. It had very grave consequences. They say that Khalid bin Walid, who had not yet converted to Islam and was still a very dreadful enemy of him, he gathered his soldiers and he relaunched an attack against, and in this, because the archers had left their strategy, the Muslims were at a disadvantage. Many people fled, many Muslims, and Hazrat Ali found himself having to defend the Holy Prophet single hand. And they say that in this battle, the Holy Prophet actually lost a tooth. But Hazrat Ali, who was defending the Holy Prophet single-handedly, received so many cuts on his body that when the Muslim ladies, who were the nurses on the battlefield, were asked to bandage Hazrat Ali, they turned to the Holy Prophet and said, "He has so many cuts, we don't know where to start." So this shows the bravery of Hazrat Ali. He was the greatest champion of Islam, the greatest soldier of Islam. The Holy Prophet then reported that the angels in heaven were reciting, La Fatla Saifa Illa Zulfaqar. There is no ideal or perfect man like Ali, and there is no sword. So it is an historical incident. What relevance does it have for us today, the context in which we live, where we no longer use swords except in museums or in dramas? The answer to this is that Zulfiqar used to have a double blade. And this double blade symbolized knowledge, ilm, and action, amal. Ilm and amal, or amal, knowledge and action. Today, our Imam, Maulana Sultan Alayhi Salam, had made a statement during his period, today we no longer use the sword of iron. Today we use the sword of knowledge. And we can all see that our 49th Imam is spreading knowledge through all his activities. You take any aspect of Imam Zaman's work through the Aga Khan Development Network, and it's not that he's spreading knowledge by building schools only, but he's spreading knowledge by building universities, by having the Aga Khan Award for Architecture, the historic cities. Any piece of work that the Imam does, it is evident for anybody to see, motivating people all over the world to acquire knowledge. Finally, the last paragraph of the third part of the dua reads, Tawassalu indal masaibi bi maula kumul hadiril mawjudi shakarimil husaini Allahumma seek the mediation and closeness of your Lord Shal Husaini during calamities. O Allah, my prostration. The word tawassalu is related to the word wasila, and wasila means intermediary or means. And this is a direct reference to Surah 5 also, because in the third part, beginning ayat is from Maida. So the ayat which I am quoting about is also from Surah Maida, and it is Surah 5, ayat 35. O you who fear God, the means, wasila to Him, and struggle in His way, happily you will prosper. This word wasila means intermediary, a means to go through, and this is a very notion, this is a concept underlying that God has always a vicegerent, a means to Him. The people of the planet and go through the take ayah number 4, we sent, we obeyed. And if had wronged, forgiveness, and the messenger, forgiveness for forgiving. So when we are disobedient, according to this, go to the Prophet or to his arm of the time and ask for forgiveness. And if there is for us, Surah 9, 100, take sadaqah from their wealth. And this is addressed to the Holy Prophet. Sadaqah, the wealth of the, so that they thereby be purified, grow, and pray for them. For your prayers be a source. Allah is people, human beings, do not give sadaqah or even zakat directly to Allah. And through the Imams and the Prophet who pray for the believers who give sadaqah or who give zakat, these prayers are a source of peace and happiness. One more thing is that this sentence, Tawassalu in the Mawla Kumul, the older printed versions of our dua, it has come as Kumil, but in fact it is Mawla Kumul Hadiril Husaini Ya Alimah.